Emily, thank you very much indeed. Well, do keep that page open in your Bible. We're going to be having a look at that. You should also find on the tables in front of you an outline of where we're going to be heading. It's on the other side of the notice sheet. So do pick that up, and there should be some pens dotted around it. That would be useful to you. But as we come before God's word now, let me lead us together in a prayer. Almighty God, please would you this evening open our eyes to the greatness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I wonder, who is the most impressive person that you have come across? Who's the most impressive person you've come across? I don't necessarily mean all your stories about famous people that you've met or flashy places that you've been, although this person might be famous, but who's the most impressive? Who is the most together, the most wise? Perhaps they're very intelligent and self-disciplined. Maybe someone successful. Maybe someone who's particularly courageous. Maybe someone who's particularly able, skillful, sort of class act. Who's the most impressive person that you have ever come across? Well, 3,000 years ago, there are probably not too many more impressive people around than the Queen of Sheba. And the passage we're looking at this evening describes her visit to King Solomon, who actually is one of them, one of the more impressive people around than the Queen of Sheba. He was a deeply impressive man. And as we're going to see, as we read and think about together this great story, this great scene of the arrival and the visit of the Queen of Sheba. And we pick it up there in verse 1. Have a look at verse 1 with me again, where we see that the Queen of Sheba had heard about King Solomon. So have a look at verse 1. When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. The fame of King Solomon had clearly spread far and wide, as far as southern Arabia, which is where it's thought that Sheba is, a distant land where we have this queen of this land, Sheba. And she heard about Solomon, and she was clearly intrigued, so intrigued that she was willing to make the long journey to meet this man for herself. I imagine we've all had that experience of hearing about what a good bloke, such and such a person that everyone else seems to know and seems to have met, except we haven't. And we hear about how clever and witty and popular and well-connected this person is. And when you hear about that, it intrigues you. You think, I want to meet that person. And a part of you also thinks, well, we'll see about whether they're quite as clever and witty as everyone else thinks they are. We want to meet them, and we want to see for ourselves that this person is all that they're cracked up to be. And I suspect something similar is going on here in the mind of the Queen of Sheba. Having heard, she wanted to see. And so having heard, she came to see for herself. And she came full of hard questions, ready to test him, to see if there was any reality behind the hype. Now, her entrance was undoubtedly pretty impressive. It's quite a sight. Have a look at verse 2, describing her arrival. Verse 2, we read this. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon. Now, if you know anything about classical music, you've probably heard about Handel's famous piece, The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba. Here, hopefully, is a little bit of it playing. Does that ring any bells? Do you recognise that? The last time you probably heard that piece was at the opening ceremony of the Olympics, because it announced, it was used for that short little film which introduced another queen, the Queen of England, and her really quite impressive arrival to the Olympic Stadium. It then moved on to the James Bond theme and all the rest of it, as we know. But here is the Queen of Sheba arriving, and her arrival was something else entirely, something quite different from the Queen of England's arrival at the Olympic Stadium. Hers was with this very great caravan. Now, this is not the sort of caravan that you get stuck on the A303. Totally different. This is a massive entourage which would have snaked its way up through Arabia up towards Israel. This large array of people and camels and other animals, no doubt. And with them, they had all this gold and all these expensive spices, all sorts of precious stones. It would have been a very, very impressive sight. It was an ostentatious display of wealth. And she came with her toughest questions to test him. Halfway through verse 2. Let's pick it up there. She came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. You can imagine the scene. There she was, testing, probing, wanting to find out if there was substance to all that she had heard, to all this talk. Was he really as wise, as impressive, as powerful, as learned as everyone said he was? But verse 3, here we see the answer. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. And then she saw. Verse 4. When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. Or to translate that literally, she was left breathless. She was left breathless. It was a breathtaking experience. Now, I don't know when the last time was that you had your breath taken away. Maybe it was seeing a magnificent fireworks display a couple of weekends ago. And you had your breath taken, maybe something a bit like this. Maybe you're in the Olympic Stadium when Mo Farah stormed through to win 10,000 metres. That must have been a pretty breathtaking experience. Or the velodrome when Chris Hoy took gold. Or maybe you heard a wonderful piece of music, maybe a classical piece of music, and it's absolutely fantastic. Or maybe this picture here is a bit more your style, whatever your taste. And it was breathtaking. It was just fantastic. I'd say I found this bit of footage from a few weeks back pretty breathtaking. I don't know if you came across it. It's the Austrian Felix Baumgartner. And he is standing there 24 miles up from the Earth's surface. He's gone up there in this capsule. He's wearing a spacesuit. He's virtually in space. And a helium balloon took him up there. And here he is standing on the ledge. And he's talking and saying he's about to go home. And then he jumps as you do. Here he goes. Well, that's pretty breathtaking, isn't it? I mean, it was thrilling watching that when it actually happened. It's thrilling watching it now. And he fell for 10 minutes. He had a parachute at the end. It's all okay. He landed safely to Earth. It took him 10 minutes to get down there. He reached, he beat the speed of sound, reached up to 830 miles an hour. Very impressive, breathtaking sort of stunt. But what took the Queen of Sheba's breath away was more than just a stunt. It was the sheer magnificence of Solomon. Everything about him, his wisdom, his knowledge, his court, his palace, his wealth, his faith, his life, his splendor. And as an impressive woman herself, she came to see Solomon. She saw Solomon, and she was blown away by Solomon. She was left speechless, utterly overwhelmed. And when she recovered eventually her composure, she said as much. She said what she thought there. In verse 6, we pick it up, what the Queen of Sheba had to say about this. Read with me from verse 6. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me.
in wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your men must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. Do you see that she responds to what she sees with praise by testifying to the greatness of God's king, saying that far from the reports that she had heard being exaggerations of the truth, they didn't even give half of it. And so she testified to the greatness of King Solomon and praised his God. But she didn't just talk. It wasn't just all talk. She also gave. Verse 10. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Now, with the re-election of Barack Obama to the White House, we can look forward to some more visits of Barack Obama here to the UK. He comes with a fairly impressive entourage when he comes, doesn't he? But it has to be said that in recent times, his diplomatic gifts with which he's come haven't been quite so impressive. They've been a little bit random, in fact. 3 years ago, he presented the Queen with an iPod filled with Broadway tunes on it, which I'm sure she really quite enjoyed. He gave Gordon Brown a set of 25 DVDs, which apparently didn't actually work in the UK. Poor bloke. The last time he came, David Cameron received a barbecue, and in return, David Cameron gave Barack Obama a table tennis table in return. Now, all these things actually sound quite good fun. I wouldn't mind them myself for Christmas, but they're a little bit trivial from a diplomatic visit. And the gifts that the Queen of Sheba gave, they were rather more substantial, rather more serious. She gave Solomon the very best that she had. 120 talents of gold. That might not mean much. It's over 4,000 kilograms of gold. That is a lot of gold. More spices than had ever been seen before. But do you know what? As much as she gave, as generous as her giving, she received, we read here, far more in return. I wonder if you spotted that in verse 13. Verse 13, King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for, besides what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned with her retinue to her own country, a little lighter. She left satisfied. Out of Solomon's riches, out of the king's riches, all her desires were met. All that she wanted, she received. So we see here in this episode, the Queen of Sheba, she heard about God's king. She came to God's king. She saw God's king. And she was overwhelmed by God's king. So she testified about the greatness of God's king. And she gave her very best to God's king. And she was left satisfied by God's king. It's a great story. But as we're about to see, it's not a story really there to tell us simply about these two people from 3,000 years ago, the Queen of Sheba and King Solomon. Let me read to you what Jesus said of this story from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said these words, "The Queen of the South," that's another name for the Queen of Sheba, "the Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon
is here. Something, or rather someone, greater than Solomon is here. Someone that we've all heard of. Someone who said these words. Jesus Christ. Now for some here, that might be as far as you know of Jesus. You've heard of him. You've probably got an opinion about him. But if truth be told, you've never really taken a close look at him. You haven't really seen him for yourself. You've taken other people's word for what they have to say about him. And perhaps like the Queen of Sheba, you're intrigued. You're intrigued. What is he really like? Is he all that he's cracked up to be? Does the reality match the hype? Well, if that's you, I hope you can see the implicit invitation that there is in this story to come and take a look for yourself. To come to the Bible, where the words of Jesus, where the life of Jesus, where the testimony about Jesus is written down, and to see him for yourself. To come as the Queen of Sheba did with your hard questions and put them to him in these words of Scripture. It might also be the case that you are actually very familiar with Jesus. You've been a Christian for many years. None of this is new, but somehow, for no doubt many different reasons, it's all gone a bit dull. The splendour, the beauty of your king is sort of covered in mist, in fog. It's a bit like what I have on days like today when it's cold and I walk into a pub and my glasses just steam up completely and I can hardly see anything else. And sometimes it can feel a bit like that when we look at Jesus, as though our glasses are just steamed up and we just can't see him for who he really is. It's all gone a bit dull, a bit misty, and his voice is muffled. Well, if that's you, can I encourage you to gaze again, to come with fresh eyes, to dwell on, to seek to understand, to know who your king is. Come with your questions, with your deepest questions. Come with your doubts. Come with your unfulfilled desires, with your hurts, with your pains, with your fears, with your insecurities, your burdens. And see his life and hear his words. And as you come, whether for the first time or for the 100th time, as you come and take a closer look at God's true King, Jesus Christ, when you learn about who he is, when you see what he did, when you engage with his character, when you understand who he is, when you do that, you'll be blown away. What you'll find, or rather who you'll find, will take your breath away. He's a king who brings peace to the restless, rest to the weary, meaning to the searcher, hope to the fearful, forgiveness to the guilty, truth to the ignorant, challenge to the complacent, friendship to the lonely, certainty to the doubtful, wisdom to the questioning, life in all its fullness. He's the friend of sinners. He welcomes outcasts. He has compassion on the poor. He fed the hungry. He never lied. He never exploited. He was never wrongly angry. He was utterly humble and yet perfectly self-assured. He confronted evil. He exposed hypocrites. He challenged the arrogant. He comes alongside us in our pain and hurt because he himself has been there, rejected, abandoned, subjected to the cruelest death. And yet at his greatest point of suffering, he was not consumed with himself, but rather he prayed for the very people who were killing him, saying, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." The Bible tells us he's the king of creation. He walks on water. He calms storms. He's the king who shows us God, who says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father," because he himself
was God's. A king who is God with us, who demands our allegiance and our life. A king whom death could not hold, a risen king. A king who will one day return again. And as we come before such a king, and the more that we see him for who he really is, the more we'll respond as the Queen of Sheba did. Firstly, by testifying to his greatness, by praising him, by speaking of him, by giving glory to his Father. And then by giving not iPods or DVDs or barbecues or table tennis tables, but instead giving in the way that the Queen of Sheba did, with the very best that we've got, with our greatest treasures, our time, our ambition, our all, our ourselves. Why wouldn't you give yourself up to a king such as this? And here's the thing. When we do that, when we give, we receive so much more in return. We are left satisfied. Our desires are fully met in him. And in the process, his splendor is magnified all the more. Well, in a few moments, we're going to spend some more time dwelling on what type of king Jesus is. We're going to watch a video of another sermon describing his character, who he is. And as we do so, pray that he will open your eyes to who he is, just that bit more.